Welcome back, everybody, to another exciting edition. It's Cruise Life Experience Podcast. Mitch.
And Mike.
And we're coming to you from a completely different location today, and I'm out of my element, and I'm actually visiting Mike's residence in Cambridge, Ontario.
Yeah, we just had some great ribs. Big shout out to Mark for whipping them up. He did a 4.5-hour smoke on them, and the smoker that's kind of right over your left shoulder behind you there, and pretty awesome, yeah?
Oh, man, amazing. First time I ever had the smoker, and honestly, I think the best ribs I ever had. No rib fest this year, so that made up for it.
Yeah, great. Today's episode's a great one. We've got Robert Taggart, hotel director with Royal Caribbean, and currently on board the Serenade of the Seas. Before we bring him on, let's talk a little bit about the hierarchy of a cruise ship, because a lot of people think that the captain is in charge of everything, which he kind of is. He's in charge of the overall operation, but he has three very important division heads who he works and liaises with on a daily basis. And we're going to talk a little bit about each one of those positions. We'll finish with the hotel director position. But the first one is the chief engineer. And pretty self-explanatory, the chief engineer runs the engine room and everything that helps build propulsions for the ships. And he normally has, the chief engineer has around 40 crew members who work alongside him to, of course, help that out. The second one, I'll let you talk about, the staff captain.
Yeah, staff captain in charge of safety, security on the ship, and pretty much second in command. They're a fully certified captain, which means that they're fully licensed to be captain and they can step up anytime. It's a maritime organization requirement that there's two captains. I'm pretty sure it is. And that's one of the main reasons why they have it. So yeah, staff captain, major role on the ship as well.
Yeah, they hold the Master Mariner license, and very often you'll see multiple people with that Master Mariner's license, even sometime a first officer or second officer, because they've transferred over to the company and have to work their way kind of up the ladder. So yeah, there's normally a bunch of people who have the Master Mariner license on board the cruise ship. So there you go. And of course, the last person is the hotel director. And now the hotel director is in charge of the largest division on board the cruise ship. That is the hotel division, in charge of the entire food and beverage team, in charge of the housekeeping team, and even is in charge of the entertainment, so to speak, because he's our boss. We report to him or her, in that case, of the role of a hotel director.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people have misconceptions about that, because maybe back in the old days, the cruise director had different responsibilities. The titles were a little bit different. And some people still think that the cruise director is in charge of everything in the hotel, like the general manager, which maybe in some cruise lines they are. But for Royal Caribbean and most of the major cruise lines, cruise director is always entertainment. And I bet once or twice in your career, Mike, you've had someone come up to you and complain about something or have a concern that was not really your area, but you did your best to deal with it.
Nobody ever complains on a cruise ship, Mitch.
Exactly. Ever. That's why I adjusted what I said.
Listen, I'll let you bring in our next guest while I introduce him. He has been a hotel director with Royal Caribbean for many, many years. Currently, the hotel director on board the Serenade of the Seas. He's there right now. That's where he's joining us from. And he's a good friend of both of ours. And we welcome, of course, Mr. Robert Taggart to the program.
Hello, can you hear me? I think maybe our internet might be a bit slow. How are you?
Slow internet? That doesn't happen.
No, I'm actually on a cruise ship, guys. Yes, I'm still employed. That's why I've got the silly costume on. Yeah. Yeah.
You're hanging on for dear life there, are you?
I am. Yeah, any excuse at all, you know.
Now, we have known each other for quite a long time, but for those who don't, talk a bit about where you've come from, how you've grown with the company, and your journey to become a hotel director.
Wow, that's how long is this show going to be? You know, I started with cruise ships in Canada, on the west coast of Canada, British Columbia. Canadian Pacific and Canadian National had ships that would go up the coast. And I worked on a ship called the Princess Patricia for Canadian Pacific when I was 20. And I started as a dishwasher, whatever you want to call it, and was a juice man and did all the jobs. And so I did that one summer. I was going to school, and then in between, Carnival called, and I started my career there. Didn't like it, left, and then Royal called, and I said, no, I've done cruise ships. They said, well, we're not Carnival. I said, good for you. They brought me down anyway. So, you know, I started in 1988 on the Song of America, and I started as assistant F&B, actually a kitchen steward, basically a galley position. And within 2 to 3 years, I was F&B director, and then I was hotel director in 1993. which at the time was fairly quick, you know, in those days. There wasn't a lot of ships then either. Song of America, you know, the Sovereign class and all that, Envision was just coming online. So, and then I just,
the
yeah, so I started the Bismarck. Yeah, so I started, I worked in F&B. That was my way through. And I worked my way up through that. And, you know, there was a position called Assistant Food and Beverage Manager, which was a great job because you learned a little bit about every, because, you know, food and beverage is relatively complex. In those days, it was the most complex. And so I kind of learned from the ground floor up. And yeah, it was my way. And so I got to be F&B early. So I kind of got in the back door pretty quickly. And then, you know, there's been an awful lot of change, as you guys well know, through the years. And so you've had to keep up on the game and, you know, keep trying to stay current. And it gets harder, you know, as you know. So even this is new. So, yeah.
Yeah. You had to download this app for this meeting, right?
I did. I've been using WebEx for the most part. It's not that I don't use the system, but I'd heard of Zoom, and I've been using Messenger, but it's great. Yeah, so I'm rocking it now, so it's great.
Yeah. Nice.
There you go. So it's a pretty amazing career. I worked with you back, it was 2012, I remember, on the Navigator. That was right when I first became a cruise director. And I remember doing the ALS challenge with you. That was really fun. So we were wondering, it's got to be hard, especially with such a great long career, but if you had to pick, could you find maybe one of your proudest moments that you'd like to share? I mean, there's probably so many, but what do you think?
To be honest, actually, there really isn't. A kind of an unremarkable. No, actually, I would say what's been happening recently, what we've been going through now has been, you know, it's been something you spend your whole life doing things and you don't expect to experience what we experience now. But you go back to the hurricane in Puerto Rico and the ship's responses and our responses and working in the Bahamas recently. And those are the kind of things that I find that, you know, are fulfilling for me. And as a company, I think we've always been on the right side of things and did great things. And it's amazing how many people pitch in. And I don't just mean us who have these big, fabulous jobs, but kids that really could be home doing other things that just put their – and so that is inspiring to me, yeah. So – I would say whenever there's been an emergency of any kind, and we've had several in our history, the response has always been amazing because you don't know yourself how you're going to respond to these things until it actually happens. And
so the whole fight or flight type of mechanism.
Indeed. And the thing is, you like to think you know how you will be, but the reality is until it happens, you just don't know. And I'm proud to say most of our people always seem to just respond well. And I'm fortunate to say that I was able to function through all these. And, you know, I remember running down the Navigator after 3 o'clock in the morning, the alarm's going off, trying to put my pants and my shirt on, having no idea what I was running to, you know, and all of us do that. But I mean, I'm not on the front lines, you just live with that your whole life when you do this thing. And Mike, you know yourself in the various things that you've done. You have to test yourself in many ways, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's a messenger group or a Facebook group, if you were, that crew members are all a part of. And there was a question there of who is your favorite supervisor? And it's weird because, you know, it's crew members from all the cruise lines who are kind of in this board. And so you see different names that you don't recognize, but your name came up at least 36 times. Like, and I'm just like, when I said to Mitch, I go, we got to get Robert on because, I mean, he is so popular with the guests, but especially with the crew. Yeah. So why do you think that is, number one? And then number two, do you have any advice for any of the younger up-and-coming people who maybe aspire to be hotel director on how they can, you know, manage the operation while still, you know, developing and building those relationships?
Actually, I think I'd answer the second part first because it kind of leads into the second part. You know, and I don't want to sound like I figured anything out, but to be honest, when I first started, I was a young guy and I was with a bunch of young guys training. And we were training and we were working with older men that were doing jobs for a long time. And I thought, you know what, you know, for us to be telling them how to do their job and we don't know, I think it's really bizarre, right? So I took it upon myself to kind of sit with the guys after work and listen to them and have them tell me and learn from them. I mean, I learned from Haitian guys that were in their 40s and 50s that were pot washers or whatever, but you know, they really had it figured out in a lot of ways. And you know, you build a bond with the people. I was a night shift guy and my team was my team. But I think the message was learn the job from their side, you know, learn what they go through. And so that when you have an issue, you have a little bit of credibility, maybe perhaps, or at least some understanding. You got to be willing to learn. And I think that's the important part. And then just show that you're interested in what you're doing. And that's not just a, hi, how you doing, you know, home slice or whatever. You know a little something about everybody, whether it's a daughter was just born, a dad may have died, an interest in a football team, any little thing that you can pick up on that you can just sort of build a rapport with people. Because, you know, we deal with a lot of people. And you guys have been working the bigger ships. You know that it's a daunting challenge, yeah? So you got to – I think that's really one of the easy – because there's a line where you still have to be able to be respected and listened to. I mean, you can't be everybody's friend, but there is a way that you can be friendly to everybody. I think that's the thing. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well said.
Great point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because a lot of guests, we were talking about it before the show, even still, they still think that the cruise director might be in charge of something else and they don't know what certain roles are for people on the ship. So we wanted to just, for those guests that are listening and some of the crew, especially some of the new crew who are on their first contract. I remember my first contract. I didn't really know what the hotel director really did. All I knew was that I was scared of her. Essentially, maybe a little bit of information on some of the keys responsibilities of the hotel director and maybe why some crew members are a little bit shy when they're around hotel directors.
Well, you know, I mean, the hotel director on a cruise ship role is way different from what it is on land. And, you know, it's also a personal choice. We work for a brand that gives you the latitude to operate in your own personal fashion while staying within the guidelines, unlike other companies. But, you know, I mean, I'm trying to search here a little bit. What we do on board is there's a lot more front-facing. If you go to a really nice hotel anywhere, any luxury property, the odds are you're never going to know who the hotel director is. That job isn't a job that's a front-facing job. And to some degree, it can be that way on here too. But nowadays, it's a personality that you know. So that's a part of it that you have to take on. There's things that we don't worry about. We don't worry about occupancy rates. We don't deal with that. But we are the front-facing part of the operation, and there is that component to it, you know. So, yeah, it's and the other thing, of course, is we wear these silly outfits, and we wear them. And, you know, I go in the galley now. I'm like a man in my 60s, and I say hello to some young kid, and I'm dressed like Douglas MacArthur. He's gonna be scared, right? There's an old guy talking to me. What is he talking to me for? He's got more stripes than, you know. So I think that's part of the thing. I've always said the stripes are okay for the guests, but they're horrible for the crew. You know, when you go back and talk to somebody and you dress like this, it's really hard to have them relax. Because, you know, the other thing, of course, they may be, you know, if you work in food and beverage, it's a grind. And some of these operations, there's just no time to explain why you want something done. So there's a certain amount of intimidation in the job sometimes. And so they just see me as the force stripe. Intimidation until they know who I am, I guess. So it's just a different kind of job, like you guys and what you do as well. I mean, you know, it's your guys' job has evolved into something completely different from what it was at the beginning, you know. Yeah, so it's that way. It's it's just different because we are personality sometimes more than we would be in any other, because you never know the hotel director on property on land.
Yeah, so absolutely. Yeah. Listen, you touched on it a little bit earlier. You said you came from an F&B background. Most hotel directors that I've worked with have come from F&B background.
Yeah.
We obviously know why that is, because food and beverage is a huge part, if not the most important part of the operation. We'll always say entertainment goes hand in hand with that. But, you know, if people don't eat, they're going to be grumpy. So let's call that what it is. That being said, have you ever seen a cruise director who might have some potential to roll into that HD role? Is there anybody you've come across in all your years where you go, you know, that guy really runs the business well? I could see him kind of progressing, because there hasn't been, in our company that I know of, a cruise director that has gone to a permanent hotel director role.
You know, I'm trying to think back. I believe there was. But, you know, the answer to that question is a definite yes. I mean, food and beverage was the only show back in the day, like you said. But you got to remember, the cruise division was probably four or five people, a stage show, and that was it. You see what people are running today in the operators. And the better managers I see nowadays are not necessarily in F&B. As a matter of fact, I would probably say generally not anymore. You know, you've got managers that are in your business, managers in marketing and revenue and other assets that are equally as good a manager as anybody else. Your knowledge in certain areas it's probably more important to know how to manage than to know the actual the details. It's good to learn the details, but I would say that cruise directors that you guys run operations now, especially on the big ships, that are 10 times more complex than any hotel director's job in the old days on the old ships. So I would say management now is the most important skill set. The knowledge that you get or whichever venue you come through doesn't matter, but quite a few of our best hotel directors were not in F&B now. There's still a few, like me, the hangers on, but to be honest, I would say that's old school now. A lot of the positions that we have now are far more valuable to the future of the company than the old ones. The old ones are kind of like, duh, you know, food and beverage is duh, like housekeeping. These are things that are just standard things that we keep up on, obviously, but they don't lead the show anymore. You see a cruise ship now, you see the whole wow factor of what you guys provide. And that's the critical piece that makes it work. And that's what defines us from everybody else, right? So yeah, my answer is absolutely. I mean, Darren Budden, I think you guys know, another fellow Canadian, he was Menard, he was a marketing revenue guy, great hotel director, went on to land and all. So yeah, I mean, I would say definitely that's the future. And we have many cruise directors used to be either great managers, not so good on stage, or great stage guys and lousy managers. Today, I say you guys are all great at both. I mean, I don't know if you realize what you go through sometimes, but you guys really manage a very, and you know, the artists are artists. It's like a chef. A good chef is never easy to deal with. And good artists are the same way. You guys have to have like a lot of psychological skill sets along with everything else that you do. So you're managing people that are complex and varied and have different needs. So yeah, you know, I think it actually fits perfectly into the role that I'm doing now. So,
well, thank you for that.
Yeah. That's very refreshing.
And by the way, if anyone's wondering, listening, if we paid Robert to say that, yes, we did.
No, listen.
Listen, I got vendettas on both of you guys, so don't start.
speaking of vendettas, you know, your fun-loving personality has often led to a comfortability, if you will, to have some fun on the ships. And part of the best stories come from the old days. You don't hear very many of those great stories from kind of these days. So, I mean, and I don't want to use the word pranks, but for lack of a better term, there were some incidents. Yeah, there were some incidents that have happened. What have been some of the best that you have seen, been a part of, or even heard of?
You're really going to go there with this? Okay, I'll start with
when I first G-rated. G-rated.
G-rated. Yeah, no, listen, they all are. When I first started on it with Canadian Pacific, my first side job was Sparkwatch. I actually stood on the funnel deck of this cruise ship for 2 weeks with a broom and a life jacket for 2 hours a night. Put it in my overtime, you know, to get my overtime. I did 14 days of spark watch on a ship that was a steamship, but it was no sparks, but 14 days. These guys put me up to it. So this is like whale watching or whatever else. But wait, all practical jokes. I mean, I've come home a few nights and my door was missing in my cabin. Somebody saran wrapped my toilet, so I didn't really know. But of course, the all time, and I mean all time classic that I still wake up in the middle of the night, was of course something that you, young man, perpetrated yourself. Remember Aruba? Remember the adventure of the sea?
Perpetrated.
I think I was going to a meeting or something in Aruba, and I had packed my luggage, and I was out doing something. So I was catching an afternoon flight to get to Aruba, so I'd have a couple of days. So I packed my bags. So I go upstairs. I'm getting ready to go, and I grab my bags, and all of a sudden they weigh a ton. I don't know what's going on. So I make it, understand, I've got a taxi waiting outside and I'm running now, okay, because I'm just not organized. I open my bags and they're full of water bottles. So, came to be understood that a certain cruise director named Mike, and who was the co-conspirator, Michael?
Miguel.
Yeah. May he rot. Yeah, Miguel. So I'm like, I am going crazy because not only did they take my stuff out, they put it back. So now I couldn't remember where anything was. So I'm running around. I'm F-bombing. I've got Captain Ron in there. I'm like, I hope you do something to these guys. I throw my bags in. So anyway, I get this going. I make my flight miraculously, and I get on the plane. And Ron says, don't worry. I'll take care of this. I said, okay. Get on the plane. Then all of a sudden, I'm starting to get messages from you and Miguel separately. it was just a joke. It was. So apparently, this is the best part. You might have to fill in some of this. But Ron had gotten the security officer involved and told you that I was missing some money, that the little prank had turned out to be. And anyways, that was a classic. But we've had several like that. I mean, we've had some things. I was on the adventure and I went down one day. You know, we have a model car in the Centrum there. I went down one day and I looked. And something didn't look right. The tires were missing. The wheels were gone. So I'm like, why are the wheels gone? So again, it was crew staff. It was Mr. Spacey. And I had an all points bulletin search for these stupid tires. And guess where they were? In my shower, in my cabin. So, I mean, you know, the things that we've done to each other over the years have been just epic. And those are just a couple. But the one that Mike and Miguel did was just, I mean, afterwards, it was funny because there was a whole gauntlet of things that went on afterwards. And it was just classic stuff. I wasn't too happy at the time, I will admit, and I probably did use a little bit of salty language, but
Robert Hines was the HR manager, and Val,
that's right,
who I just worked with on the but Ron Holmes, the captain, he's the one who gave me the key to your room, so you know,
he never told me that. Wait till I meet him. Hey, Val's still on Symphony, you know, she's on Symphony
now.
We're back. Yeah,
she is.
Yeah. So anything else you want to bring up on that slide, Mikey?
No.
A while ago, Mike did share that story, so I just wanted to make sure we heard it from you as well. And
I can verify that he did everything he did. Yes. He should be very proud of himself. Yeah, it was good.
It's a good one. Mitch?
All right, so actually, one of the things we were going to ask about is typical day at sea for a hotel director. Can you kind of fill in some people? We have 5 minutes left, so we just wanted to ask you one last question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we start our days off fairly early, breakfast first, check your emails. You know, we have computers in our cabin, like you guys, depending on what part of the world you're in, emails come flying in. Check those, go for a quick walk around, go down to the crew area first to see how everybody is, make sure the food's okay in the mess. Then I would normally walk the outer decks and see the guests were out, see if everything was in good order, and then we usually have a meeting of some sort, either it's executive committee with the captain, staff captain, chief engineer, or we would have a quick meeting amongst ourselves and just talk about the day's events and all that kind of stuff. And basically, that would be it. If we were going to an American port, we'd do pre-arrival inspections and galleys. And, you know, I'm 62 and I'm still crawling around galleys and still loving it. So, yeah, you know. So that's kind of the day. You know, it's a balance. You know, they say the office floor balance is 60-40 or whatever. I always try to make it like 20-80. And the most important thing is the floor for me. Like, I came on this ship, and my door is open in where I am. When I came on the ship, the crew started coming in to look at what was inside there because the door had never been opened before. But when I'm there, you know, I try to keep it open so crew can come see me or the guests. Yeah, it's right in the guest area. Yeah. So these ships are really good that way, the Radius class, yeah. So it's a busy day. I mean, you balance both, eh? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned you're 62. Is that what you said?
Yeah, 62. Just turned 62.
Do you have any plans, like how much longer you're going to work on ships, or what do you have planned for after?
Dancing with Wolves, probably, in the Kootenays in the southeast corner of British Columbia. I don't know. But, you know, the thing is with us and with that idea is you never know if you're staying too long or if you start to hear the whispers behind you or you leave too soon and then you have regrets. So it's a difficult thing. I always say there's two things you have to do. You have to love it and you have to be learning. I don't care how old you are. You know, I'm 62. If I stop learning, I need to leave. And I tell the young guys that too. I say, guys, it doesn't matter how old you are. You need to learn. If you're not learning and you're not keeping up, then you need to go. And that's the thing. It's hard to know when that is. I think this might be the one that decides it for me because simply reality being what it is in the new world we're in, maybe I'm in a risk factor that they might not want to take a chance. But I don't know. I mean, but you have to be prepared. That's the hardest thing about what we do is being that part of it is knowing when and how to do it. So it's not completely cleared in. I've been practicing my lines for Walmart. Can I get you a buggy? But I'm not sure. I'm just cut out for that. But there's got to be something to do with people. If I'm going to do anything, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
We're going to finish up with rapid fire. I'm going to mention something. I just need a quick answer as quick as possible.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Favorite all-time ship to work on?
Song of America.
Okay. Most influential person you have ever worked for?
Tony O'Pray, hotel director, generation before.
Most famous celebrity that you have run into on a cruise ship?
Oh, Brett, George Brett. Great guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hung out for
a week. Your favorite hot sauce?
My favorite hot sauce is still the Carolina Reaper. Hottest pepper in the world, yeah.
Favorite hockey team?
Canucks.
Favorite football team?
New Orleans Saints. Who that?
No, we said football.
You mean American soccer football?
No, fair enough. Well, I know who your soccer team is. I know.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite people that you have worked with in the following positions? Guest services manager.
Oh, my God. So many. Maria Matheson.
Executive housekeeper.
Frederick, my boy. Yeah.
Frederick. M&R manager.
Oh, my goodness. Darren Budden.
Okay. F&B director.
Tony Fitzsimmons. Lord Fitzsimmons.
And, of course, not including anybody here because we know you'd say us. So, besides
us,
cruise director.
Okay. If it's not you guys, I'll say Richard Spacey.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, we want to thank you very much for taking time out of your day to join us for this episode. Any final words?
No, not really. I mean, I think we're just waiting to see what's going to happen in the future. And let's hope this business continues. You know, I know we all love it. And we're going to be okay. The company's doing really well. The kids are good on board. I'm taking care of them. We're down to about 800 crew. So hopefully in the next month or two, I'll be home. So we'll see. But just take care of yourselves, guys. It's been nice to see you both.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait to work once again. I know it'll happen sometime.
Yeah. For sure, guys. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks so much,
guys. Robert Taggart.
All the best. Thank you. Bye bye now.
Okay. Wow. There you go.
Man, he was dropping some knowledge, you know? Very, very.
I'm going to tell you, any manager should be able to get a lot out of what he had to say.
Yep.
Like really, really intel. And I mean, off the cuff, it's just like, you can tell that he lives and breathes and works that. I mean, that's him, man. I mean, that is Robert Taggart in a nutshell. And while he jokes around a lot, he has the knowledge, the experience, and he is willing to help you learn. And that's what you forever want from a manager, right?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, it was great to hear. And I hope that, as you said, hope people are listening really do take that in, because it was some great stuff to hear. So another great guest. And we're excited about our next show. I want to shout out to Carolyn. I think it's Sizka. Her birthday was on May 31st. We didn't do an episode. So happy belated birthday.
Cool. Hey, Mitch, I'll see you in about 2 seconds when we close off this podcast. But for everybody else, thanks for tuning in. And we'll catch you for the next one.